This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, there's some hard truths in this world. Steel is dirty. About 7% of global greenhouse gas emissions come from steel, but it's also the most used metal in the world. We need it, and right now we can't live without it. We have with us this afternoon Erica Chan, General Manager of Sustainability at U.S. Steel, a $4.4 billion company with a market cap of $4.4 billion. She's with us right now in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Erica, it's good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. So how do we do this? How do we make the steel industry not responsible for 7% of global emissions?
Well, it's going to take a lot of things for that to happen. And the good news is that everyone is coming together to address this problem. So I'll give you an example of collaboration. Today, the Climate Aligned Finance with the RMI organization and several banks, including ING, launched the Sustainable Steel Principles. And this is designed to standardize how banks support and finance the steel sector in order to accelerate a decarbonization journey. So that's one of the ways. Another thing that we're doing at U.S. Steel in particular is, which is really unique, is that we've integrated sustainability into our business strategy. So everything that we do is integrated across our operations, across our enterprise.
Okay, I want to just step back because Katie and I were talking a little bit earlier about science, and she revealed to me.
Oh my God.
That
what
she
are you going to say?
Has never taken a physics class.
No.
Okay.
And it's okay.
Is it okay?
Did you take chemistry,
it's
though?
It's totally okay.
I almost failed chemistry.
Okay, she almost failed chemistry.
Yeah.
But you're really good at writing about bonds.
Yeah.
She knows everything about crypto.
Some very specific talents.
But let's take a step back and talk about how steel is made.
Okay.
And why it's so energy intensive. So take us through that. And Katie, I don't know why I threw you under the bus.
No, it's fine. I should have tried harder in school. But how is steel made?
Yeah, well, I am not an engineer, but I will tell you in from what I understand. So, you know, I joined U.S. Steel about 8 months ago, and I knew nothing about steel. I worked for Dell Technologies. But it's fascinating. Steel is made in one way, which is a traditional way of integrated steelmaking that's been done for over 120 years, where you have a blast furnace, a lot of ingredients are poured in, and then you've got liquid iron coming out and eventually steel. But the newer technology uses what is called electric arc furnace technology, and that is what is referred to as mini mills. And that has a lower carbon footprint, up to about 70 to 80% reduction in carbon footprint for steel. So one of the interesting things about steel is it's infinitely recyclable. It loses none of its properties. And so I like to say that—
Is that energy intensive, though, to recycle it?
No, we actually use it as an energy source. So up to 80% of scrap steel can be used in our electric arc furnaces. So we've been practicing circular economy before circular economy became a thing. We recycled last year over 5.2 million tons of steel and scrap.
Mm-hmm. And so if I look at your notes, this stat really jumped out to me that steel is, of course, an emissions intensive sector, accounting for roughly 7% of global greenhouse gas emissions globally. And again, I'm a little shaky on the science, but the process you just described, what's realistic if we think about where that 7% could go to?
So, you know, it's going to take a combination of things. You know, we know we can't do it alone, right? One company can't do it alone. It's, we've got to come together, and a lot of things have to happen, like government funding, you know, policy to support it, improved regulations and all of that. But I think that the really important thing on getting to that is exploration of technologies that can help us get there, like green hydrogen. Have you heard of green hydrogen?
I have heard of green hydrogen.
We had Plug Power CEO Andy Marsh on our program, who works a lot with hydrogen and works with companies all over.
Yeah. So the availability of green hydrogen is going to help lower the intensity of steelmaking. A lot of other technologies like electrification, direct reduced iron with hydrogen, a lot of different technologies need to come to maturity, and carbon capture, utilization and storage as well.
Earlier this week, we had on our program Dr. Andrew Forrest of Fortescue, and he's it's a holding company that owns a bunch of mines in Australia, and their competitors include Rio Tinto and more. And it's
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Business Week, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Mining, so it's not necessarily the processing of it, but they're looking to decarbonize completely. What are your goals at U.S. Steel? And he's not talking carbon credits or carbon offsets here.
Right.
He's literally talking like, you know, moving completely away from fossil fuels in a real way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we actually set last year our net zero goal. So we've committed to become net zero. So that's an absolute reduction in emissions, absolute emissions reduction by 2050. And we have an interim emissions intensity to go along the way. But that is the same spirit that we're taking, is we have to invest and explore in the technologies and energy usage as well that will absolutely decarbonize our footprint. And we are not relying on carbon offsets to get us there, but there are a lot of things that we need, right, to support us in that journey.
Well, sit tight with us, Erica. We're going to be back with you in just a few minutes. Erica Chan, General Manager of Sustainability at U.S. Steel. She's with us right now in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week, and this is Bloomberg Radio. Let's get right back to Erica Chan, General Manager of Sustainability at U.S. Steel. She's with us right now in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. So, Erica, I want to talk more about sustainability, of course, at U.S. Steel, and specifically about the plan to eliminate carbon emissions from steel production. Is it too early to completely, how do you guys completely comply with EAFs and, like, go to mini mills that use all the scrap steel to remelt into new steel? Talk about how that works.
Yeah. So, you know, we acquired Big River Steel, which actually was the first LEED certified steel mill in the U.S. And it's also the first U.S.-based steel site to be responsible steel certified. So that is our first electric arc furnace, along with one that we have for our tubular business in Fairfield, Alabama. So the journey there is that it's a combination of utilization of this improved technology for steelmaking, but as well as investing in technologies that can help actually decarbonize. So carbon capture, utilization and storage, that's one method as well. We talked about green hydrogen earlier. Electrification of the grid, because steel is so energy intensive, you know, we need more renewable energy in the grid and a grid infrastructure that can support that expanded power need. So those are some of the ways that we're looking at it.
When it comes to carbon capture, with the current furnaces you have, the current blast furnaces, does that work? What research have you done there?
Yeah, so we actually have formed some partnerships and alliances. We're bringing together in a non-competitive environment like peers and academia, as well as government agencies, to look at how do we scale and how do we implement that infrastructure, because it doesn't exist in a scale at a level that we would need, you know, to cover all of the blast furnaces that are in operation today in the U.S.
What is the role of the government here? And to what extent does the U.S. government need to step in and actually help you and other American steel companies get to net zero?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen a big signal from the government just in the past few weeks, right, with the IRA. And I think that's going to be a good first forward movement into making sure that the U.S. government enables the various levers that we need to decarbonize across a number of different industries.
And so what kind of relationship, what kind of conversations do you have with politicians, with the White House? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, we actually welcome engagement from policymakers on all levels, federals. You know, we work very local in our communities as well. And it's looking at the policies that can enable, like, clean energy, right? Like renewable incentives for renewable energy infrastructure and development. So we do work with regulators and administrators and various agencies at a federal and state and local level.
Who are those regulators? Who are the politicians that you're actually speaking to on a regular basis?
So it's a number of different ones, and my colleagues who work in government affairs are, you know, the ones who are the primary leads on that. In my role in sustainability, and I focus on looking at the overall corporate sustainability strategy and how do we meet our goals, how do we advance on our commitments to be more a sustainable company, to offer more profitable steel solutions for our customers, because our customers are really the ones who are also at the forefront of this, right?
Because in a sense that they're demanding
exactly.
It from you. Well, so how much of this is driven internally versus externally?
I think it's a good, healthy combination. So our customers have their own expectations, right? Their own commitments. Whether you're an auto manufacturer, an appliance manufacturer, you want to offer more sustainable products to your customers. And in order to do that, you need more sustainable materials, right? Whether it's steel or, you know, some other material that goes into making that.
And Erica, I want to talk a little bit about you and your role at U.S. Steel. You said that you joined 8 months ago. Where did you come from?
Yes. So I worked at Dell Technologies. I was also in corporate sustainability, and I worked there for over 11 years. So it was a really interesting journey to come over to the steel sector, which I knew nothing about. I'm not an engineer. I don't have a PhD in metallurgy.
Yeah.
I don't think I failed my physics class, though. But
I didn't even take physics. I failed chemistry.
Okay.
Right, Mr. Harris from my high school is listening to this, maybe. So he would know how I did. It wasn't so great.
Yeah.
So I do think that's really interesting that you went from Dell Technologies to U.S. Steel, sort of from, technology to an industrial industry. Why that leap in particular?
So what I saw in U.S. Steel was the opportunity to join an iconic company that I saw was on a solid journey towards transformation, right? It's not just, I'm going to announce these goals and do nothing about it. There were solid plans in place and actions being taken. And so I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to, you know, bring my practice around sustainability and my knowledge to kind of help evolve the foundation already that was there. And so, and I love a good challenge. So, yeah.
We only have 30 seconds left, but you've been there for 8 months. How big have the changes been since you've been there? What can you tell us?
So culture-wise, it's different, right? Going from 150,000 global, company to a 24,000, I think I'm going to get the stat right, employee worldwide, both U.S. and Slovakia. And what I found is that it is a very warm and embracing culture. We've had employees who have worked there like for multi-generations, like for four generations. Yeah. And that is something you really don't see in corporate America today. So the environment has been very warm and welcoming. So it's been a really great experience.
Well, please do come back and join us once again when you are back in New York City. Very pleased to have with us Erica Chan, General Manager of Sustainability at U.S. Steel, with us in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios in New York.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.